Let it out slowly, please. If it's a dream, don't pinch me, baby. Could you let me sleep?
As long as I see your face, I don't want to be awake.
I count sheep forever if you promise me. You're never changing. Your love remains the same no matter what the day may bring. I'm here to stay, whatever comes.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And good afternoon.
Hi.
Right. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. And Merry Christmas to everyone. You are talking with your host for the NCWCC Block Talk Radio Show for Women of Color in Contracting. We're airing live from Stone Mountain, Georgia. And I wanted to wish everybody a wonderful, merry and new beginning. Before we get started on the show, I'd like to thank our roundtable folks who are going to be coming aboard. Our main interest today is topic is initiatives that work to rebuild our economy. And I thought that was very important that we realign ourselves with initiatives. Because of last week's show, I thought it was very important to know the letter that was formatted for the Honorable Barack Obama, President-elect of the United States, that was drafted by one of the participants that is leading the charge for, in terms of coming forward and identifying organizations like the Coalition to the Transitional Team and the members of Congress that women create and safeguard jobs for our economic recovery level. In order for us to have a transitional stage in this economy, we must be counted. And in the past weeks we have, and if you go to our site, ncwcc.org, you will visibly see why these forums are very important. And you will also understand that organizations cannot solely exist because they are in their communities. Unless we are a part of the political arena and a part of the policy reforms and the need that change has to come in order to be evident as economic recovery level as businesses and business owners, we must support our existence by being active in our government. So with that being said, what I would like to read to you is the letter that went to the transitional team, and this is very serious because our partners have been working within the industry for the past 30 years, and we were listed, and unfortunately, it's not, I'm not proud of this, but as the only African-American organization that actually, women of color organization, I'm sorry, that represents women of color in contracting. You have a lot of people who have a lot of friends that may be a part of it, but we are part of the reform level. So what I'd like to do is kind of read the letter that actually went out, and it says, "We, the undersigned organization, applaud your commitment to creating or saving 2.5 million jobs at a critical juncture. An investment in infrastructure, school modernization, and retrofitting our public buildings for energy efficiency will stimulate the national economy and contribute to the economic security of our new employed workers and their families. However, specific provisions are needed to guarantee that women have fair access to job opportunities created through the economic recovery plan to preserve and create jobs in fields where women currently represent a majority of the workforce and to provide work support initials to vulnerable families. We urge you to work with Congress to ensure that the economic recovery legislation benefits all Americans and take positive steps to eliminate the workforce segregation that exists today in many of the infrastructures and green jobs that will be funded through this economic recovery package. To that end, we recommend the following. And just to go over the four things that we recommend, it's set goals for women hiring and retention in non-traditional jobs funded by the federal by federal contracts and ensure compliance to reach these goals. Number two, ensure funding for recruitment, training, and supportive service programs for women in non-traditional occupations. Number three, fund programs that will create equality in human service fields that currently employ large numbers of women. And increasing funding for safety net and education programs. Basically, it states that we look forward to working with you and Congress to enact these provisions and contribute to an economic recovery that works for all Americans. Additional information can be obtained from Wider Opportunities for Women, WOW, and Women Work, the National Network of Women's Employment, co-chairs of the National Coalition of Women and Job Training. Please do not hesitate to contact Joanne Korzowski, Executive Director of WOW, or Tiffany Bowman of Women's Work, the Director of Programs and Policy. Sincerely, and what follows after that is 101 names of our partners throughout the United States that recognize, as it says, that in short, programs and organizations which have demonstrated capacity and experiences include, of course, our principal partner, Chicago Women of Trades, Lauren Sugarman, Joliet Junior College League, Non-Traditional Employment of Women in New York, the Women's Committee for Building and Construction Trades of the AFL-CIO, Goodwill Industries here in Atlanta, Sisters of the Brotherhood, which is our partners of International Brotherhood of Carpenters that we've signed a national agreement with, and, of course, the Hard Hat Women in Cleveland, Ohio, Madison Aerial Technical College of Tools for Tomorrow, and, of course, our name, the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction. Now, I'm not going to read off all the names. However, this also reiterates our existence as creating a social level of networking and becoming a part of our mainstream industry partners instead of organizations like most churches and different institutions. They have different churches and different, you know, there's Pentecostals and all these other different religions. However, a lot of things do not get done collectively. We, the voice of the coalition, would always be in a position to unite with our sisters that's in the trades, that's in non-traditional employment, that represents government policymakers, and they will ensure with that we're not just at the table as being somebody that they're counting as a black person, a face for the organization, but we are leading the charge for change. And I also wanted to share with you that we were just endorsed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who has a support of 500,000 women in their chamber throughout the United States, 27 chapters, with Margaret Dordoff in supporting our campaign, our national campaign called TRIM, which is Transparency, Reform, Innovation, and Measuring. And that kind of concludes where we are in terms of folks, other organizations understanding that validity is most important. I think that in talking with the executive directors of several of these organizations, they understand that we must be a seamless organization of women. And, you know, just because we're women of color, that's the representation level, who we support at this time as a coalition and as business owners. And I'd like to welcome our callers to the forum. We have a caller from 219.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Two callers from 651.
Hi, how you doing? It's Wonder. Michelle.
Okay, Michelle. There's another 651.
Hi, this is Jeanne.
Okay, Jeanne. Thank you. Welcome to the call. And we got a couple folks on in our chat room, I guess, here, so I'd like to bring that up. Want to go over our description of the show, the lack of knowledge and the lack of purpose and the impending tragedy that results from its absence. Purpose creates vision and produces goals and creates change. We can be the change, and we can change the face of business. So, therefore, I would like to kind of start off with Michelle And you have been very kind enough to be on the show regularly on the, in the past 4 or 5 months. So I want to completely thank you for your voice and for your consideration and all the things that you do behind the scenes to keep us looking and forging great partnering visibility, because if you don't have a corporate look and a corporate understanding of the industry, people will not take you seriously. So I want to thank you for that and your time.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for engaging me in what the coalition does and really opening a platform to educate others in the community about what you're doing. And I've also been really impressed with all the positive feedback that the coalition is getting and all the other guests that you've had over the last several months. I really believe in 2009 a lot of wonderful things are going to take shape. You know, we have a new president. People are ready for change, and I really feel that the coalition is also making great strides to bring change to this country. And I'm just really, really happy that I could be a part of this. And please know if there's anything that I can do to help, by all means, I'm here.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. And I'd like to also thank the caller from 219. As I always say, without her, I would not be who I am today.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Karima.
Okay, and I appreciate you candidly coming on and wanted to say happy Merry Christmas and Happy New Beginning for you.
Thank you so much.
I certainly appreciate the genre that you create as coming on the show as our fearless leader. It always is a very good point when you have a mother who is involved in your life and in your direction and your vision. It gives you the strength outside of God himself to have a blueprint of what a strong black woman is and what a strong black mother is. And I certainly appreciate everything that you have continued to do and support the coalition on every level. Nobody understands what it actually takes to be in a position as an organization that is not a nonprofit organization. We refuse to be one because we will not be prone to subjections of different scrutinies. And when you're a nonprofit, you become what I would think a little more contained, and we cannot be contained. We had a business that we used to have back in Indiana, and I know that we have been very fortunate to have a blueprint as a businesswoman that has a diverse background in education and in both the government sector and in the private sector as well. So I just wish that you continue to support us, and I don't think we're going to let you down. We have a huge opportunity to do a lot in a short period of time. A lot of people are sitting back and waiting to watch Barack become our savior, and he's saying, I've done my part. I need you to do yours now. So, you know, it's only so far anybody can take you, and I just want to close with that. I'm not going to put you on the spot right now, but I just wanted to go over that. And let's just share some of the things that's going on. And caller from the 651, thank you. Welcome to the call as well.
Thank you. I am just listening in. This is my first opportunity to hear your show and hear about the coalition. I was invited by Michelle. And so I am happy to show my support by listening to all of the good things that you have to share with us tonight.
Okay. Well, this show is a little bit different. We usually have a very lucrative amount of individuals that we get from around the country. A lot of people have decided to share this time with their families, and so as the show moves forward, we'll have some other callers that come on. But the main thing, the main purpose of this is to really give the folks who are going to call in, because this show is immediately archived and has a static footprint for individuals who want to go back later and go into our website, which is ncwcc.org, and you can actually click on and see, just look at all the shows that we've had. But one of the things that I wanted to bring back to light, which is very important, that the CEO of the U.S. Department of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce for Women has led a charge up Capitol Hill so that all women in general that are in business, are in non-traditional trades and non-traditional employment, because that's inclusive to anybody that is not the traditional individuals that are, you know, secretaries and things of that nature in the backing, but nothing against them, but to forge that understanding to Congress and the Senate that not only have we been underserved and misrepresented, but as we stated in the article that was presented on our site, that the Bush administration, and that's, I'm trying to be a little bit easy with that, the Bush administration has falsely and blatantly taken the numbers and stated that the contribution for women businesses through the year 2005, 6, and 7, and 8 has, and it's on the front part of our news alert. This came from our sisters of the PwC, which has been around in New York for the last 30 years and leading the charge. And it states that we're trying to get the word out that potentially billions of dollars in reported spending with women-owned firms had been grossly overstated, as dozens of firms were male CEOs opposed to women. This also enlates us to knowing that this is not a charge, this is a fact. And that's one of the things that the coalition has critiqued itself on, is creating a understanding of complete facts and data, which we want to get a little bit further into why the coalition is taking the position that it has. But to stay on course, Margaret Dordoff is the CEO of the U.S. Women Chamber of Commerce. She says that the Bush administration has failed to come close to meeting the decade-old goals for contracting with women-owned firms. And instead of telling American women the truth, he has manipulated the federal data reporting system to try and hide their failures. We will not let them hide any longer. So it also tells us that women are now the majority owners of 29% of all firms. 29% of all firms, and is nearly one-third of all the businesses in America, that the federal government has failed to provide women with fair access to federal contracts. We have been bullied. While total federal spending grew from $200 billion to $340 billion, which was an increase of $140 billion, only $5 billion of all the women in America got of that total number of 340. Now, on our site, you'll see Margaret Dordoff on the YouTube Small Business Economic Recovery Watch. You will see that she made a very point, and she said there's only five words that we're asking you to do since you say you are a champion, and she was addressing the Senate committee that's supposed to be overseeing this. And she said it was big, bold, simple, focus, and now. That was it. So we applaud her, and with this, she has asked us to join them on the Hill to work in conjunction to our TRIM campaign. And that TRIM campaign is something that that has allowed us to be able to have a different focus point. And this is just corporate America. Now, Michelle, you worked in corporate America for several years. And
yes.
Most of the corporations have this thing called corporate social responsibilities, where they ultimately reach out to the community, and which the definition of corporate social responsibility means conducting business in an ethical way and in the interest of a wider community, responding positively to emerging society priorities and expectations, and a willingness to act ahead of regulatory conformation, balancing shareholder interests against the interests of the wider community and being a good citizen in the community. Now, Bush did not even begin to try to do that. And I think you come from a background that I'm sure you were a part of with some of the outreaches that your firms that you worked for had done in the past.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Did you ever participate in them, or was that made clear to the employees that those opportunities were there to do community outreaches and things?
Going back to the corporate responsibility model, I know in my experience, as far as community outreach was concerned, in some cases, every year, some of the corporations I worked for had scheduled events that were community related. But on the other hand, too, a lot of my activity was not really work related, but I, in some way, still represented the company because people would ask, okay, well, where do you work and what do you do? A lot of my involvement was the coordination piece. For example, if the company was a sponsor or a representative in a major AIDS walk or women's initiative, for example, my role was to really coordinate the activities as far as getting employees informed about the event, encouraging participation, even coming up with shirts or paraphernalia to wear for the event, just to really get people in the spirit, whether if it's in the spirit of giving back or really representing the company. But the tricky part was really trying to do it in such a way where people didn't feel forced to do it or feel obligated, but something that this was something they really wanted to do. I've noticed over the years people would participate because they feel, well, if I don't do this, it means that I don't really care about the company. I really feel some people have kind of done it for wrong reasons. But for the most part, my role was to really create the momentum, you know, if you will, kind of really get people interested and excited about the different community-related activities that the company was involved in. And that was pretty fun as far as coordinating goes and to see the outcome from that.
You know, I actually have been looking at and looking to the organizations that are asking us to either champion with them on some of their advancements or let's just say there's a clear need to diversify their executive boards these days.
Mm-hmm.
you think? So where there's typically been, you know, maybe one person of any kind of color and on their board, is a lot of folks are really rushing to look, and hopefully the look is not a pretend to have a diversity look on their boards and their agendas. And typically most of the organizations that outside of there's some of them that's on this list that I cannot say they're very questionable in terms of the years experiences that I have known them, but I will say that the most standout champion I think you were able to be on with Lauren Sugarman from Chicago Women of Trades, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, we started off with Lauren back in the day in Chicago, and has always championed just the whole outlook of working with women in general. And, you know, color had nothing to do with it, but I'm sure based on dollars that I wanted to go over with this show is that the economic stimulus packet is supposed to be trickled from a federal level. So, therefore, most corporations will be receiving some of this bailout money. And so that's why I wanted to kind of share the corporate social responsibility, because you'll see a lot more corporations reaching into being a good citizen in the community, being a good corporate citizen, contributing to the community and the quality of life. It's going to be very interesting. I think you should pay attention to that. I think when they go back and start rehiring these positions, you'll see a lot of people that have some social responsibilities opposed to being not a business individual. Their social levels will be an issue that will make an employer hire them. That's what I'm trying to say, pretty much. And those initiatives, it's going to be diverse. And I think what has happened is that all businesses, a lot of businesses got greedy. A lot of people say that we're in a recession, and I don't see that. I see that what has happened is that people have been used to getting something for nothing, and now it's time to go to work and roll up your sleeves and be creative, and that's what the coalition has done. Our partnering with Tradeswomen Now and Tomorrow, TNT, is an organization that has forwards also several statistic levels working with corporate America. I think the thing that is going to be most appreciative in this move for the economic recovery package is that businesses have to now champion with employees. It will no longer be where you do what I say do or you won't have a job. I think that it's going to boil down to folks having a understanding that this is a shared situation, that the conduct for assessments and support and retention is going to be more valuable than anything else. And a lot of folks that are not critical of their visibility or have not been critical of their visibility are now going to be more aware of it. And they're going to try to eliminate the stereotypes about the individuals that that are part of the part of the change. So, wanted to also welcome our executive board member, Ms. C.J. Hearns, on. Thank you, Ms. Hearns, for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Karima. I just tuned in and just caught those few minutes of it, but I wanted to call in and let you know that to wish you and the show a Merry Christmas, and God bless you, your family, and friends, and how the show and the NCWCC have impacted C.J. Hearn in the last couple of months, that it has strengthened me as well as my personal growth and business, and I appreciate you.
We and, appreciate that.
And I wanted to...
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's good. Two executive board members on at the same time. I want to thank both of you all. Actually, three, but she don't know it yet. And Michelle.
Michelle?
Surprise me.
But we have actually grown with the understanding of how to go after businesses and direct ourselves accordingly to the way that corporate, you know, Ms. Hearns is always saying, Karima, my company is poised as a Fortune 500 company. I don't have time for all this extra stuff. So tell you what, when this guy get off the phone talking, you talk to him because I don't have time. So, you know, she says, look, a lot of people are starting to respect that C.J. Hearn is a force to be reckoned with. It is a viable business that has been around in the Atlanta metro area and has a global impact on hiring folks all over the country. I think she had an opportunity to be awarded in Fulton County an award for hiring over 100 employees throughout the region, and that was pretty good in terms of where we were going as businesses going and failing this year. And I think that was last year, right, Ms. Hearns? Or this year?
Yes, it was last year that we received an award with Fulton County Workforce and developing jobs and training their personnel. And we look forward to developing more jobs next year in our community as well as nationwide. We try to put people to work and get the job done. And that's our focus and mission.
Well, we appreciate the fact that the focus has always been, I guess I had lost that focus in terms of putting people to work because I had been just kind of disenchanted at some of the workforce levels of the individuals that we had targeted to work, you know, on different projects. But this kind of stems back to this economic recovery packet scenario that in order to stimulate our economy, every man, woman, dog, or child must be able to be employable. And those individuals that are employable, the only people that are going to hire people who look like us are people who are us, pretty much. I don't know if that's good grammar or not, but we certainly have an opportunity, as you have done in the past 20 years, is provide a workforce level that will implement training programs with the negotiation level that you all put together for the union agreement, so that we'll have more individuals that are going to be trained in the skill trades. But we certainly have to have a retention level and provide the support, the mentoring for these young men and women who have been placed on the back burner because of the immigration level of some of the influx of these projects that you see that a lot of us are not on there any longer, especially here in the South. Typically back in the day, there was a very good racial balance of individuals that you could hire. But you, I guess, Ms. Ernst, you've had to even learn how to speak a little Spanish, haven't you? In order to even communicate with the new workforce. But we understand that forging collaborations with the industry at large and labor partners, as you've done, to promote the workforce, workplace equity, has been a tremendous outreach for you. And you've actually done a lot of corporate social responsibility when people don't even understand what you've been doing. You've been balancing your shareholders against the interest of the wider community. So I know, you know, I look at a lot of things a little different, but you have certainly taught us more that it's not just about the dollars, about putting our young black men and women or young folks to work that's in our community. So I certainly applaud you for that and certainly appreciate everything that you've done.
Well, I really appreciate that. And, Karima, we're looking forward to working, as you mentioned, the union, and working with them. That's bringing a bigger piece of the community at large and nationwide to develop jobs for 19 to 21-plus-year-olds and training them for the workforce in different disciplines. Now, I'm looking at one area right now is lead-based paint and asbestos, where we can train 100 people right now, have a training center available right now to get that going, and other areas as well. You had another area you had mentioned that we can provide this service as well in the construction. There's another project we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. I drew a blank. but I think it's the demolition.
I talked today to this new restaurant in Stone Mountain, borderline here, that they're about to do a theater catering service, a restaurant, and weddings there.
Oh, and okay. Yeah. She's about to do it. Because she mentioned that, and that's a very good partnership that's going to work out. This is an initiative where people are coming back into the community, not the regentrification individuals, but the ones who have left the community and trying to create jobs when bringing something like that. I think that's a 35,000 square foot facility.
Right.
Okay. And so, yeah, that is going to be a tremendous opportunity to, you know, bring in hundreds of jobs, not just through the construction, but through the level that that's going to afford professional people to man the clients' businesses. Yes.
We're also looking at another job here at the airport, the Conesto terminal there, providing some jobs in concrete. You know, so with the support of these different agencies and primes out there and wanting to work with CJ and you know, I don't want to gender-tize. That's not a good word. But things are open. a little bit.
And I think that's most important. Michelle, when you look at the what we were talking about, a lot of people are going to be looking at corporate a little bit different. You've been back and forth. Have you been back in the corporate arena in the last, during the last 18 months? Or?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Has the footprint changed a little bit as well?
You know, that's a good question. I think the best way I can answer that, given, you know, I wasn't a manager or, you know, I wasn't a huge decision maker, so to speak. I just see in corporate America, they're really starting to see a lot of their weaknesses, a lot of the issues, particularly in training and development. You know, you talked earlier about training and development for young people, and I think one of the key things that in my experience that I see is the attitude on training and development is really changing. It's not just, okay, let's hurry up and get this done so we can move on to the next thing, but the trainees are having a really difficult time either retaining the information or they're not getting the on-the-job training that that they thought they would be getting. So I really think that there's going to be a great shift in a lot of corporations as far as what is the overall structure and attitude about training. Okay, it's not just a matter of setting goals, but how can they realistically train people more effectively? So I see a lot of change in that, because, you know, a lot of corporations are getting sued. There are a lot of things coming up that they didn't expect, and a lot of it was because of poor training. Not so much poor management, that's a part of it, but a lot of people are getting in trouble because they just didn't know. They weren't told. So,
and you know what? That's interesting. Is that unfortunately, what very bad accident occurred here in Atlanta? That one individual, one gentleman that has 8 or 9 children, had died based on what you just said. That lack of training. One thing that it's corporate America is parallel to the construction industry. Typically, Ms. Hearns has always said, and Ms. Freeman has always said, that you have to look at your business not just as a mom-and-pop business, but to look at your profits and look at your exposures and look at the fact that the people that you have working must be teachable, trainable, and be able to have a retention level once you spend that kind of money with those individuals, because that's a part of being able to have a sustainable workforce. In terms of just like the accident that happened, you had a bridge that collapsed at Botanical Gardens, and unfortunately, the gentleman was an immigrated worker, I guess, from Mexico, and he said his son stated on news the other day that his dad had complained that the scaffolding was too far apart. And one of the conjectures that are part of TRIM is transparency, where if you go to our site and you will look at the fact that our issues is to block the fundings for programs and projects, these ready-to-dig projects, into proper training has been put in place. And also there's an oversight committee outside of the federal level, like the EEOC and different places, that, as you say, that these individuals are not – they're not being trained properly, and so you have an ineffectiveness of performing the work that they've been hired to do. And then in our business, one mistake costs a life, several lives. And so you have that, as you said, and I'm glad you pointed it out, you have owners who are actually looking at business owners who are looking at a corporations, rather, who are looking at a different way like they're not being sued, because now this has to, you have to have sustainability, and you have to learn how to build capacity with those employees, opposed to treating them as if they have no voice and they're not individuals who are somebody's, you know, father, aunt, you know. And it's unfortunate we had a, you know, OSHA on this particular project, stand forward on that, said that they didn't, so far they hadn't found anything. And this is what we're talking about, TRIM again, is transparency, because the corruption in the construction industry roots all the way from the top to the safety regulator people, from OSHA to the governor to the politicians who turn their heads on policies that are, that they know are barriers for not just women of color, but all minorities. So this,
excuse me, but I think, Karima, it needs to be, it deals with the financial. The training is pretty much there in place. It's that the supervision and the financial in order to execute that more strongly. OSHA does have a good plan in place.
Hmm.
Financially for their personnel and executing it more effectively, that's not been done. And
yes,
this is what CWCC helps to make that become more effectively executed.
Ms. Freeman, what do you feel about the what Ms. Furnish just said? And you're going to talk today, because I've never seen, somebody online said that you talked to them for 15 minutes and did not even take a breath.
I'm sorry, but I think it has to do with a person not really willing to take responsibility. They are trained correctly, but they are not willing to take that responsibility and say that they were trained correctly, but they wish to do it another way. And we need to make sure that we are hiring and we're training the right people for the right jobs.
With the skill level of professionals that you have out there in management, it's the level you're able to recruit or hire those personnel to perform that task. It's out there. America is open. Any skill level that you need. So there's a person that hires that person, but it's out there for what we're looking for and asking, and it's to execute that. NCWCC will provide that services on certain levels to execute that. We have that. We have the skill level. Everything that's just around us right now is executing that. And who wants to take the responsibility to execute and stand in there?
That's right. That's what it is. It's executing, and a lot of people don't want to take that responsibility.
So how do we push that forward for resolution?
Well,
actually, you can start with the interview and interviewing the person that you, for the job, to, you know, think, to try to bring them out and see what, how they feel about certain things, how they feel about doing the right thing even when there's no one watching them. That's what we need, people who are willing to do the right things when no one is watching. We have quite a few people who would do the right thing when someone is watching, but what about that person when there's no one watching? You need people who do not need to be watched in different jobs.
Absolutely.
To make sure that the job is done correctly.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Different people are working with them, interviewing, and et cetera, until the right person click. Of putting them in a position of making the system work what is most effective for the community as a whole. And that's what we want right now. Because we already know the pattern, the plan, and the guidelines. It's making it work right now. That's what we want. It what makes it work for the whole community, making us happy and enjoying our life without the rhetoric. So who steps up to the plate?
I think another thing that's critical, I know I've seen this in a lot of corporations, they have positions they're desperate to fill, and they find the right candidates for the positions, bring them in the door, but the people in charge, whether it's the manager or administrators or whatever, what I've seen happen a lot of times, the newbies, they come in, they're ready to work, they know they need to be trained, and they're left with this impression that they're going to start off just getting nothing but training starting out. But the workload is so great, so oftentimes you see people, you know, whether if it's a manager or whoever, maybe show that individual a few things just to get through a certain major project or whatever. And I think that can really cause more problems because if you don't set aside the time to train that individual correctly from start to finish, you know, a lot of problems can occur, and it can become very overwhelming for the people that are starting out. So I really think corporations and other big organizations need to take another look on time management, because it's one thing to say, okay, we have this wonderful training program or we have people on board to train, but if there isn't someone on board that can effectively prioritize the time involved in that process, in other words, putting the proper schedules together and making sure enough time is allotted for people to learn what they need to learn rather than just being pushed, you know, to the task right away, it can just get really nasty. And I know that's been my experience. You know, I start a job and I only had a day or two to, you know, be introduced to certain things, and then I had to run with it, and I'm back, you know, asking all these questions and, you know, getting all confused. And yeah, it just, anyway, but the point I'm trying to get at is time management is so crucial, you know, as we move forward in business, making sure that we make the most of our time and really manage it effectively.
The key thing is that we have identified with tradeswomen now tomorrow that they have more than 40 training and support programs. Support programs that back up the training, I guess, is what you're saying. People are just putting people out there just for a body count, and then you almost have a body count because of, depending on the complexity of your projects or what you're doing and your skills. And so what has happened is that, and that's what, Ms. Hearns, I appreciate you directing that, the NCWCC's commitment is the most profound level of sustainability. And as far as sustainability as an organization, a service organization, an organization that provides not the complete level of training. That's why we partner with people who have pre-existing training programs like the unions that afford, that has that offered for, to build a pipeline, if you may say, for areas that where there's concentration levels of training, retention, and support. The most conclusive thing that I can say is that in the field of any business, if any business that does not have responsibility for programs and policies that direct training, technical assistance, or community levels of commitment, those businesses are some of the ones who are going out of business. I think that the directive for the new 2009 workplace is not just equality, but having a safe environment that that policies that are not enforced, that have not been enforced, are now enforced. On the show last week, we playfully talked about EEOC, for instance, and them maybe having four or five people there in the office, maybe two or three, but. And that has to do with just the workforce level, but in first in part of workforce development and a champion to pilot, let's just say there, just like, for instance, my heart really goes out to the guy, the gentleman that lost his life and his family. Unfortunately, they're Hispanic, and probably based on one of the shows that we did some months back with the union, is that they had a labor broker who 1099 these guys, and they probably did not have workers' comp or insurance. maybe the Harding Construction, who did have the insurance, probably is going to, you know, that's why they set up a fund for his kids and all. We appreciate that gesture. But, however, a lot of this has been the system that's been in place right now, you guys, has been a corrupt level where the infrastructure that has been built over the past 20 years has decayed in the last 8 years. And we only can go back into understanding that the implications for the coalition is derived from data that shows why women of color, all women of color, has had the same barriers and the same implications that show that because we do not have some of the obstacles or some of the platforms that's in place, you guys, that for you to be pushed out on a job, Michelle, and then saying just wing it. I mean, I don't know what the complexity of what you were doing, but if it was life threatening or detrimental to the other individual, like it is in construction, I mean that kind of tells you that same situation applies not just through your business, but through our industry. And a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, you guys are union, you're going to be trying to ask for all the money, but the unions provide, you know, the type of plausible training that forges a industry standard that has to be trickled into back into the industry. What has to happen is that we need to start to care again about each other, and that's the bottom line. You know, Ms. Freeman and Mrs. Hearns was talking about how do we support that? What do we do to start from there? What can we do? Well, the main thing that we need to do is to continue to have these forums. And I appreciate everybody being able to voice a lot of their opinions on this show. I certainly want to let everybody know that the coalition is.
Are you saying, you know what? I like to say that. I don't mean to cut you off. Please.
Go ahead.
But I just like to make this point, in a sense, that, and I'm holding this because of what Michelle said about training employees and their loyalty. And what I feel, and I held this alone, got what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be on a radio show, so it's okay. But I really feel, in looking at the changes and moving forward, and how global we have changed, that when you hire, it's not that them working 9 to 5, it's also what that employee can bring to the table in increasing the revenue of the company.
Mm.
This is something that I have looked at in talking, going to these meetings and seminars of a company. I know you were on something else, but I'd let you discuss that. But from what Michelle said about employees, and I wanted to iterate that business owners are also looking at what an employee can table in increasing revenues as well. Not that they're to perform duties or tests there in hand, but what you also can bring to the table and creating revenues for the company. This is important that I have seen from the different meetings, seminars that I have attended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is the new millennia. It's not that you're going to work 9 to 5, but you're having to increase production, et cetera. I wanted to bring that in place and get back on what you're saying.
Well, that's interesting because the production level is very important. As business owners, you want these guys to, you want these folks that you hire to give you more than just every bang for your buck. But the exposure, as we've been discussing and then some of our coaching sessions, that, yeah, I understand that there's a lot of exposure as business owners, and people don't realize that. There is a lot of exposure. And, Michelle, I'm not sure, was this a Fortune 500 company that you were involved
yes.
in?
Yes, I was.
But do you think the impact of them when they're interviewing the owners interviewing a candidate, applicant, that they're looking at now as someone not just to sit and type or do whatever, but when they're answering the telephone, they're there to represent you and bring in more business. That's more money revenue. I'm in Emerging 200 Business and finished a class last Tuesday, and everything came together at the end. And this is what they taught me in increasing my awareness and insight in business. You understand, Michelle? That's what I'm learning. I'm in the inner city here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. The company has to show that.
The team is tremendous. And there's Jeff Parker, who now has a radio show on About Business Startup, and now NCWCC. I'm going to celebrate Merry Christmas to you guys.
Absolutely. Ladies, I want to just take a moment. I want to introduce a new artist that has a very great sound. I want to take about a few seconds to break and just kind of breathe. Please stay online with us. We're just going to take a short little recess. All right, thank you. I thought that was a good. It's actually my Sunday prep talk to myself, sitting and basking in how life has come together for us as a people. I wanted to kind of change the segment part of the show a little bit because it is one day before Christmas, I certainly want to try to get into some things that make a lot of sense around this time of the year. I think a lot of us never thought we could make it to the end of the year, and we have certainly made it as women of color. That is what we do. No matter what the situation is, we determine. We're very determined as folks that are women that are of color descent, and I always try to. I'm trying to direct the show on a different level to always address that it's not just about African-American women. It's women of different backgrounds. Are part of this charge that we have. We want to make sure that everybody understands that women of color is of any woman that has an African descent inside their bodies, their DNA. We certainly want to look back and know that a lot of us are closer to dreams that we have never experienced before. Some of the things that we're experiencing now as a coalition. In these short months of redirecting the mission of the coalition is to unite all women of color, all women in general. I think the need to understand that we are the most crucial point in the economy, and we always have been. And so now as we start to go into the new year. I told one of my neighbors who is a Caucasian persuasion, I said, we're not in a recession. I said that anytime sisters are still getting their hair done and their nails done, we're not in a recession. Okay. If you see us walking around here and our eyebrows and our hair and our nails are not done and them wig shops are not open, then we got a problem. And I suggest you don't come outside. So that is my concept of really what a recession is. I mean, we handle our experiences are different. I note that on our website. Our experiences are different, and the way we react to those experiences are different than anybody else. And with that being said, our level of utilizing the structure that has been in place all these years has pretty much shown the world that it does not work. I mean, the whole substance of the coalition is that the initiative is to produce and create a vision and of change. And people say, what change should there be? My thing of it is anything that you can conceive in your mind that's not a part of the norm is a change. If you go home the same way every day from work, you know, you should change directions. So, I can talk, like I tell people all the time, I can talk through the whole 90 minutes of the show, and I try to bring a converse level of understanding our points. And I wanted to deliberately bring that to fault because everybody has their, as business owners, Ms. Burns has shared with us, is that, you know, business owners, we're looking to get every bang for our buck because we have more exposure. The small businesses that are in America are taking the hardest hits than anybody. You know, we have the hardest tax levels that have not been utilized. The folks that are at the upper level of income streams, they've been able to advance even further financially. But let me share something with you guys. God has a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who and what everybody, who they serve, but there is just one God in my life, one. That's it. And anytime somebody that steps on the throat of people who, in an unjust way, that power that they feel they had is taken from them. And so that is what's happening. I don't believe that we're in a recession. I don't believe we are in a depression. I believe that we are in a cleansing. I believe that folks who have done the things that they would have never done 9.5 years ago, all of that is coming back to their world. And who would have thought, you guys, that we would ever have a sister in the White House that was not working there, you know? And jokingly enough, and I'll say this because I don't bite my tongue, I may get in trouble behind this, but if everybody noticed, Condoleezza Rice's edges got laid down. If y'all been watching her Meet the Press, because remember when she came on? Okay.
So now, I was in a recession last year. I'm in a depression this year.
I think Michelle had a lot to do with the sister looking a lot better because her hair is, I mean, somebody catching them edges. Everything. Okay. So, and we know, we have direct, my mom and myself have direct contact in that little arena, so somebody named Michelle talked to her. You know, when they made that little visit to the White House. You saw that, right? So her edges, she was on Meet the Press 2 weekends in a row, and I hear been looking good. So, you know, change is good. I'm sure she understands change is good. You be the change, sister, you know. So, you know, we have to look at this in a way that, you know, I tell it like I see it. And so we want to kind of move forward with that. Oh, and I want to also share with you all that we're working out a deal to actually be on a international television show.
Wow.
I don't think I'm going to be the host, but we'll have Michelle do it or Ms. Hearns or Ms. Freeman or the young lady that's been on. She's been silent, and I appreciate it. Are you still there?
Jamae, you still on?
Okay, maybe not. Okay, I see our number's still up there, but we certainly appreciate the opportunity to expand our levels of exposure. I also want to share with you that we are launching a Dollar for Change campaign, and with our partners, we are launching that on behalf of creating a fund for a Dollar for Change, and that Dollar for Change is going to be some of our nuclear bases of fundraising as a coalition. And what we're our first quarter, we're going to raise $1 million, which is really just nothing in terms of the drop in the hat. But we're launching that campaign, and organizations are just going to pledge $1. They cannot exceed over a dollar, and no matter who they are. And you'll see that in the between starting January 1 to February 28th or wherever that last month, because the month of March is for a month for women, and we've been invited to a series of different events, and we're going to be sending Ms. Hearns and Ms. Freeman and Miss Michelle, because it's not good that I go attend all these different places, because I don't think I'm housebroken enough.
So, Miss Karima, I wanted to mention that after the show, we're asking everyone to go into the arcade and to state how they viewed the show.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Can you give the website again?
Nancy Charlie. What's W? WCharlieCharlie.org. And if you could, yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you, Ms. Freeman, to rate the show. Very good. You are on the ball today. See what happens when we don't come home? You don't lose your mind, and you don't have to throw us out. Appreciate that.
Right now, it's a good spirit.
Just absolutely. It's Christmas, and so we definitely just want to be a little more candid. And we will have a show next week. I think it's going to be a more instrumental level. We've been very serious on purpose. for those who are listening online. But we are the change. The National Coalition will change the face of business. And I am certainly blessed to have the same consistency in terms of the quality of the show. I have always asked individuals to come on the show, but you know, you come to a time when you don't have to, you shouldn't have to ask anymore. You know, we welcome people at all times, but I think our dialogue has created not a lax situation, but as I said before, we should have everything worked out in January, the first week of January. We should be airing in Kenya, African states, African countries, and the Netherlands, and throughout the United States. So it's just about having the fundamental structures as in corporate level of visibility as a business. And I certainly want to just kind of share with everybody that we must keep ourselves in a situation that we are able to be blessed. You cannot sit back and wait on all this change to occur. You must be the change. You must be the change. If you, we have between the two executive board members that's online right now, you have over, 40 plus years of history and dialogue that you can, they're accessible to you, and they will talk to you, and they will talk to you as a business person. There's always that motherly thing that comes out that the person that's from the 952 area code said that.
Well, that's just me. It's just me. I had to switch phones because the other one kept beeping and cutting off. So.
Oh, yeah. I know it was you. I was just saying that the one from the 952 area code that was said that the Ms. Friedman can talk for 15 minutes straight without breathing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotta put the business out on the street, huh?
Yeah, you know. What? She did it for me for 30 minutes. I drove from one city to the next, and she never took a break. I said, is she gonna breathe? Oh, now Ms. Hurd is the same way now. Don't. The executive board is the executive board. They are not afraid to tell you who they are, and that's at any level, and that's what makes our executive board so phenomenal, because these are women that are saying, oh, by the way, what? And I want to welcome my other sister. I'm from California, Destiny Muhammad.
How you doing?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
All right, sister. We have 15 minutes left in the show. We appreciate you blessing us with your time.
Oh, you're welcome. And I apologize for the delay. It's a full schedule.
Absolutely. I saw you pop on, and I could want to click there. And the last 30 minutes have been pretty just kind of laid back and discussing the strength of our executive board and our national advisory board people like yourself. then nobody's going to get away with a little bit of, it's a different day, new day, new different board. Things have changed. Absolutely. So, everybody says, are you like that all the time? I'm like, I'm just the tip of the iceberg. You need to get past some other systems. That's the problem. So, I certainly appreciate you coming aboard and tell Brother Criswell, thank you so much for his guidance through working with our Young Musicians program. And
I will. He's doing what he generally is doing. He's driving while I talk.
Oh, okay. You're in the other home as well.
Yeah, right. In the mobile home.
Okay. Well, I certainly want everybody to know that Destiny Muhammad and Criswell have proceeded to work with our Young Youth Build Foundation that works with our youth and the young musicians, entrepreneur level, of working and understanding leadership roles and how to sustain a environment of cooperation and an environment that speaks to being able to team up and provide leadership and partnering. and as a sense. I think it's very interesting that Ms. Muhammad has seen a lot, has done a lot. Want to kind of let you bless us with a little bit about yourself again.
I'm a full-time recording, performing artist, composer, songwriter, lecturer, and traveling generally all over the United States. Right now we're doing primarily all of our work is local, lots of performing and just sharing music with people in various arenas. Today we were playing for elders at a place called the Center for Elders Independence, where these elders are sitting and they're having lunch, and we're just sharing some music with them while they enjoyed a meal. And then yesterday, we were actually at a local prison. I won't name the place. I'm not privy to do that. Well, we were playing for some young people. The average age is from the age of 18 to 30 young males who are incarcerated for a number of reasons.
Okay.
I don't want to call them felonies, but they had their...
They'll get it together.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting to be there because here they are, these beautiful young men, and I'm playing music for them, and any other time, if we were not in that situation, they would probably be looking for hip-hop and rap or something. This brother who had brought us in and had provided a pre-Christmas meal for them, they were so entranced by the music. They were taken aback. Even the guards were taken aback because they were quiet and actually were enjoying it and were attempting to sing along with it, which was really sweet. You know, and they were asking us to pray for them. Nothing. Y'all got to start praying for yourself, too.
Okay, but as our brother said, by any means necessary.
Any means necessary. So my job is to, my mission statement on our website, I use the medium of sound to sculpt an environment of peace and harmony for the listener. And that can shape any kind of way. It could be in a recording studio. It could be at a jail. It could be playing for elders. I could be playing for a wedding. It just the form, it just takes on different forms, but the ideal always stays consistent.
Absolutely. We certainly understand that a lot of people say, well, Karima, what's this young musicians program? Why do we need that? Why do we need, you know, and your husband was very, very thorough in teaching myself. And please let them know that I certainly appreciate how to work within our industry. But, guys, did you know her industry is union?
It is
our
so
trade,
bad.
They're union. Our tradespeople, IBEW, carpenters, general contractors, are all a part of this association for stage people.
The International Association of stage hand trade employees. Technical employees. It is so vast. Many times, most of the time, folks only see what's on the stage. As an example, I use Beyonce because she's so prolific. And then in your immediate area is Keisha Cole. Most time, people just see the person standing on stage who's giving this performance, but there is a whole downline that has produced that show prior to that individual even stepping into a pair of pantyhose.
As the brother said, from the dock, from the loading dock.
Loading
to the
dock.
Right.
So
all that somebody had to sweep that stage, and they are part of a union that said, yes, that person is hired specifically to sweep the stage. That is no one else's job but theirs. Someone else has to plug in all of the cables that goes to the sound equipment. Their job is strictly cables. And there's a job in the industry that leads up to the person who does their job to get on stage. There are probably 25, 35, 55 jobs prior to that one. And many young people don't even know about that. And there is a union that is designed to make sure that they get paid, that they are protected, that they have health insurance, that they have life insurance, There's a whole industry. They can travel throughout the entire United States and now even into Canada working. They don't even have to stay in their immediate area. They can leave. And as long as they're sporting a union card, they can flash their card and say, I'm part of the union.
Well, there's a certain wage rate they must pay for union or either Davis-Bacon federal government job.
Can you say that again?
I said there is a base rate when you're in the union or federal government jobs that they call Davis-Bacon wages. So you're assured you must pay that scale.
And what that does, you guys, is that this is why the coalition, we said that, you know, in contracting and construction, the premises of being able to create our Youth Bill Foundation with my sister here, and she's located in what part of California?
I'm in Oakland, California. It's about 10, 20 minutes from San Francisco.
Okay.
Is this Michelle?
Yes.
Hi, Michelle.
Oh, you're in Oakland. You live in Oakland.
No. This is Destiny Muhammad that's in just signed on with us.
Well, who said in Oakland?
She is.
I live in Oakland.
She lives in Oakland.
Absolutely.
I live in Oakland.
Are you in Oakland, California?
Oakland, California. Oaktown, as we call it.
In Oakland.
We are able to recognize
we on the talk show. You know, what can I say?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just wanted to direct our mission level to what we're trying to attain. It's not just the knowledge of understanding that this the coalition is not just having to do with dirty construction work. These individuals are getting, as Ms. Hearn said, you know, Davis-Bacon wages. And so they're earning a nice amount of money to provide and sustain their families.
Absolutely.
And as a sister Muhammad says, that we have to identify to our young folks different opportunities, because it's not just being out there and being dirty. I mean, they are not digging any holes on Beyonce's stage or on your stage.
And just as a note, it is possible to get dirty because you're building. Many times you may be building a set, which means that you're using trees to build stages, to build a set, and that is a dirty job. But the thing with it is that not to be afraid to get dirty. There's nothing wrong with that. It's work, and it's work that's even better than a decent living. You could go anywhere with that and create work for yourself. And the same thing with plugging in the cables. As we have said, my husband works for the Chitlin Circuit, and sometimes if you are working the Chitlin Circuit and you're part of that crew, you might be driving all night and not have a chance to have a shower. So you might hit that stage, set up all the equipment, make sure the stage is ready, and still not see your room or a shower until maybe 24 to 36 hours later. So funky and dirty are closely related, but the money is
absolutely. Can the brother say hello for a moment, because we got just a few minutes left in the show?
Sure.
Can he take his hand off the steering wheel? You hold it now. Hold it.
Oh, hang on.
Okay.
Hey, Criswell.
Hi, how are you?
I can barely hear you there. Okay, now.
Okay. Well, we wanted to just thank you and your wife for blessing us with the opportunity of expanding our knowledge into the areas of the industry that we were not even looking to advance in terms of, as you said, I'm trying to get the cliche that you use, from the loading dock.
From the loading dock to the front door.
And we certainly appreciate your time and your effort in working with our young musicians program, and we certainly know that you have a three or four jobs that you must continue to work with.
As we speak.
And this is CJ in Atlanta, Hey, want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. And
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a pleasure talking to with you and your wife and family.
Thank you so much. And we certainly look forward to coming to Atlanta as well.
I'm going to
hand Destiny the phone. I'm driving right now. We're kind of in between dates. She just finished up at the Elder Center. And she'll be at St. John Coltrane's this evening in San Francisco. So, yeah.
All right, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Well, it's TJ the contractor. I'm signing off. Merry Christmas.
Thank you very
much. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, and ladies, I certainly want to wish everybody a happy new beginning to go forward in a new light and a new direction, being closer to the dreams and the admirations that we have as folks, and just be strong and never look back, because we're not leaving anything behind in 2008. I mean, let's just, when 2008 get here, everybody take a run for it, okay? I mean, we better really get out of there. I mean, don't even be in the club too long. Just be afraid. Just be extremely afraid. Absolutely. I wanted to kind of just thank everybody again. We will have a show next week, and it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to probably have a lot more music. And just like right now, we appreciate, you know, opportunity to provide just a close net of individuals that, you know, at the end of the year, we need to kind of loosen up and be a lot more festive and all. So, Mrs. Freeman, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Michelle, thank you for your time as well. And,
my pleasure.
And, Your friend there from Minnesota. We appreciate
everything. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed the show.
I appreciate everything. Ladies, God bless you. And, you know, you just put God first, and we going to make it.
Amen.
Amen.
Please, if it's a dream, don't pinch me, baby, could you let me sleep?